I am sick about hearing fake news. Is anybody else sick about hearing about fake news? Dear goodness. It's awful. And it doesn't matter who you're listening to, if you're listening to the left or the right, everyone is accusing everyone else of propitiating fake news. I mean, it's incredible. It's like two children who are explaining to their parents why something's broken in the house, right? You did it. No, you did it. Well, you started this first. Well, you did that, right? It's like, it's awful. It's like children in baseball. Well, I'm the better pitcher. I'm the better pitcher. My dad can beat you up. My dad can beat you up. Right? It is. It's awful. You're fake news. No, you're fake news. No, your news is faker. Right? Like, oh man, it's awful. I'm sick and tired of hearing about it. But it's true. It is absolutely true that that the truth matters and that we have to seek out true news sources. And the facts do matter. I mean, they're inconvenient sometimes, but the facts of the case really do matter, whether or not they agree with our preconceived notions and our preconceived ideals. But I'm still sick of hearing about fake news. And you're never going to stop hearing about fake news for the longest time. Why? Because it's important. Because if you believe a lie, it will affect your life in incredible ways. Well, even more than fake news about politics is fake gospels, fake good news. The gospel is far more important than politics, which is why I try to, if you're friends with me on Facebook, I try to avoid that like the plague. I have better things to do than argue with people about changing their minds. The gospel is far more important. The gospel comes together and says all people are created in the image of God and need Jesus Christ. The gospel is for all people, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, left or right, whether you live in a communist country or whether you live in a democracy. The gospel is for all people. There are false gospels, however, that perpetuate. There are false hopes. There are false ideals that people follow. There are false things that people follow that promise to give us ultimate hope in the life to come, or ultimate hope in this life, or ultimate purpose, or ultimate meaning. Why should we be certain that we are following the true gospel of Jesus Christ? Paul starts off his letter to the Galatians with this issue. Read with me in Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 1. He starts off with a greeting. He says, Paul, an apostle, not from men or by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of God, of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So Paul starts off and he just introduces himself. He's an apostle, meaning a messenger from God, sent by God. And he says, it's not by men. It's not because I was voted in. He says, I was sent by God, by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So he's just kind of sending out his chops. And now we get to the heart of the deal. Why should we be certain that we are following the true gospel? Verse 6, he says, I am amazed that you are so quickly turning away from him who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are troubling you and want to change the good news about the Messiah. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel other than what we have preached to you, a curse be on him. As we have said before, I now say again, if anyone preaches to you a gospel contrary to what you received, a curse be on him. This is incredible. Yeah, why should we be certain we are following the true gospel? And Paul says, if someone gives you a gospel other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, and by the way, the gospel of Jesus Christ says that humanity has been born into sin, we can't help but sin, which means violate, basically be in rebellion to God. We're all sinners, and that God in his great love sent Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, to come, live the perfect life you and I can't live, die the death you and I deserve as an atonement for our sins. And that he rose again, and whoever believes in him, whoever repents and believes in him, will have eternal life. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It gives us meaning. It gives us hope. It gives us purpose. It says that you can be adopted into God's family. It says you can be lifted high up. It says that you have purpose in this life to glorify God and to make His known name known among the world. It says that there's hope for tomorrow, that this messed up dark world is not all that there is, that there is a future coming when Jesus returns and a new heaven and a new earth will be set up where there will be no more tears of sorrow. It is a true gospel that gives us hope in this life and hope in the life to come. And Paul says there are people who are coming and they're changing the gospel. In his context, some are adding rules to the gospel. Well, it's not just a matter of repenting and believing. It's a matter of doing the right things. It's a matter of having your body look in just the right way. It's a matter of eating these kinds of foods. And they've changed the gospel. Or others were coming along and saying, well, what you do in the body doesn't matter because the soul is really the thing that matters. And the soul and the body, they don't really like to talk. So you can do whatever you want to in the body and it won't affect you. It's a problem. It's a problem. What you do in the body matters just as much as what you do in the soul. I don't know how you separate those two things. But he says, you're changing the gospel. There's no other gospel. They're giving other gospels. They're saying, oh, well, what Paul's saying is good, but I have a better gospel. He says, no, there's no other gospel. And he says, if I or angels from heaven give you another gospel, then the true gospel, may he be cursed. Some of your versions say condemned. Some of your versions say damned to hell. And that's what he means. May they be cursed forever. Why? Because they will destroy you. They will destroy others. Why should we be certain that we are always following the true gospel? We should be certain we are always following the true gospel because finding ultimate meaning in anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ will ultimately destroy our lives. Let me give you an example. It's imagine that hackers get into everybody's GPS and they change the GPS to lead cars to go off to drive up an overpass that's not finished yet. Right, and you go off the overpass, and they change the signs that say, "Ah, over this way, overpass finished. You know, head over this way, shortcut." Right, that's what Paul is saying. He's saying it's like changing the GPS. It's like going off the edge of an overpass. You're like, "Hey, I'm fine. Whoa, I'm dead." The true gospel matters because the truth matters. If you think you can find salvation in something other than Christ, if you're going to find ultimate meaning in something other than Christ, he says you will be destroyed. It's like this, my friends in Vietnam, I preached in a church last weekend, and afterwards the pastor and his wife took me, they said, oh, can you eat seafood? I'll eat whatever you give me. Chalk that up to stupid things, pastor said. And so they take me to this place, and you can tell it's like a really nice restaurant, so they're trying to honor me. I'm like, okay, so they take me in. And right in the entryway, there is an aquarium. It's like this full aquarium. There's like eels and fish and all sorts of things crawling around and octopus. And the pastor's wife said, what can you eat?
Oh, gosh.
I'm like, and there's prices on everything. And I'm like, oh, like nothing. So I just said, you just pick out what's best. Okay, so... So they got some shrimp out, and like, you can eat fish, right? Sure. So they took the fish out, and fortunately, they killed them, and then served them to us later. And it was actually pretty good, but it was horrifying. So as we're eating the meal, though, which again, like, I'm not offending anybody, so whatever you give me to eat, I'm going to eat, you know, and if I die, I die. By the way, some of you teenagers could probably do well to live by that when your parents feed you and you complain about it. If I die, I die. Anyways, so over the course of the meal, they're talking with us, and persecution has just only recently shifted. It hasn't ended in Vietnam for Christians, but they're no longer arresting pastors. But they were telling me what they would do, the communist government, what they would do is they would arrest pastors, and they'd put them in jail. And you know, they thought they were treating them well, and they were feeding them. But what would happen is, you know, the pastor's hungry, so they feed the pastor, and the pastor eats the food fine. What they were doing is they were putting some kind of poison into their food. And the poison, over the course of time, robbed their minds, and they acid and actually changed their faces. So they'd come out, they wouldn't even recognize... The government had to convince them, oh, no, this is the person, because their face looked so the same and their minds just didn't work. And they were like a living testimony to what the communist government was saying. Do not follow Christ, otherwise we will rob your mind. How horrifying. I mean, and the church would like take care of these people for years and years, because they still, you know, functioned, but they couldn't think anymore. They stole their minds. That's what Paul is saying. He's like, it's like people giving you false food. Food that, oh, wow, this is safe, and I can eat it, and it's good, and it's going to be healthy, and yet it really robs your mind and changes you and warps you and transforms you and destroys you from the inside out. That's why he uses such, there's no harsher language in the Bible. He says, I'll now say again, if anyone preaches to you a gospel contrary to what you received, a curse be on him. And most of your Bibles or your notes have something that say, may he be condemned to hell, may he be damned to hell, may he be separated from God forever because this person is leading people into falsehood. They're trying to destroy their lives both here and in the life to come. It will destroy us from the inside out. It is like the jailers giving pastors food that robs their minds so they don't even recognize the face of their children, let alone be able to continue to lead the church. It is a horrifying reality. Where do we see this? We're doing graduation Sunday, so here's some of the areas you'll see this. You will see it in the false dichotomy when you go to college, and they try to say, "Well, you can either believe in religion or science. Those are they're mutually exclusive." Like, come, the science is the study of natural phenomena, the natural world. And religion, or in our case, Christianity, tells us on how we can have a relationship with God. By definition, science has no answer for that. It can't answer supernatural questions. It can't answer metaphysical questions. It can't answer philosophical questions. It can't! And I've had countless conversations with college students. I believe in science. Great, me too. Like, I don't. I believe in whatever I want to believe in. I'm Superman. Forget you, gravity. Like, nobody believes that. Nobody believes that. So, like, it's a false dichotomy. I believe in science versus religion. Like, they're not exclusive. There is something called scientism, which is not science, that says science can give us the answers to all things and the meaning of life and the purpose of life and the origin of life and how we should live our lives. The problem with that is as soon as you say that, you're doing philosophy, not science anymore. Right? Because science just gives us the data, gives us the facts we can know about the natural world. And as soon as, well, I'm going to look there for ultimate meaning. That's metaphysics. That's philosophy. It's a false dichotomy. But people will come, and they will try to convince you you can find ultimate meaning and ultimate purpose in science. Science will not comfort you at the loss of a child. Science cannot give us any answers. Science can't embrace us, can't hold us. Can't say, I love you and I care for you. It's just facts. What else? You go away to college. I know Chris and I were in college. What's the other big ultimate meaning salvation? I'm away from my parents. Now I can do whatever I want. Forget all of those stodgy sexual ethics that we had before. Now it's a free-for-all. I can do whatever I want. I'm free. Right? Like, it just happens over and over and over again. But again, ultimate meaning. I don't know anyone who's gone away to college and had several sexual liaisons who at the end of it says, life makes much more sense. Life has given me meaning and purpose. I have now learned how to be a self-sacrificial person and to go out into the world and serve my fellow humanity and to be a selfless person and to love the unlovely. And it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. What happens? We turn into ourselves and we become selfish. And we say, hey, yeah, I can live however I want to live. What's another one? Universalism. All religions are true. There's just multiple paths to God. And it's just not true. It's not true. No religious system is compatible with another one. It's not. We all make truth claims. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. But here's the danger. Not just for college students, for all of us. We are in an epic struggle we continue to fight. There is the true gospel, and then there is everything else. There is the gospel of Jesus Christ and everything else. And the world and sin is trying to wrestle us and re-enslave us. And it really is. It's kind of like, let's say this is you. it's generic. I was going to use, like, another puppet, but that was a boy. And then I said, well, I'll use the girl, but that's a girl. So here, this is you. You can imagine whatever gender it is. you probably could go for a shave, but you're good to go. This is you. And sin is trying to, in all of humanity, re-enslave it and put it back into the cage. So... it is trying to get you back into the cage. And so sin comes along. Yes, and in this metaphor, I am sin. In this metaphor, sin is trying to drag you in, and you are trying to get away, and you're trying to not, and sin is trying to pull you in and say, yeah, I'm going to throw you into this cage. And it's a struggle, and it's a fight. And eventually, if you give in, if you believe that you can find ultimate meaning in anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, other than in Jesus himself, the author of life in this world, the one who is coming back to reign forever, if you think you can find ultimate meaning and purpose, and you finally say, fine, I'm going to fight the jailer, I'm going to stop fighting, I'm going to go in, and you get thrown in here, what happens? Is that person struggling anymore? No, because you're in jail, you've given up. It's so good. Countless times I talk to people who give in to sexual sin, or people who just abandon the gospel of Jesus Christ and say, oh, I'm going to be a universalist. And they say, you know, it was always a struggle before. It was always a struggle when I was a Christian. It was so hard. And when I finally gave in and I finally, you know, just started sleeping with that person outside of marriage, or I finally, you know, embraced my identity as whatever, sin. They said it was freeing. It was freedom because the struggle was over. And you know what? This is why I think that's the case. Because the jailer is not trying to throw you in jail anymore. You are here and you're free. The struggle's over. What's the problem? You're in jail! You've been re-enslaved to sin! You can't help but not sin! That you're stuck in sin! But you don't care because the struggle's over. Yeah, but that's not the life Jesus promised us. We live in a world of darkness, a world characterized by sin, a world that is set up against the kingdom of Jesus Christ, which is already here, but it's coming in power. And so it will always be a struggle. It will always be a fight. It will always be difficult. The only time life will be easy in the face of sin and false philosophy is if you're dead or you've given up. That's the only time it'll be easy. Why should we be certain we are always following the true gospel of Jesus Christ? You should be certain you are following the true gospel of Jesus Christ because finding ultimate meaning in anything else will ultimately destroy you. It will absolutely destroy you. You're enslaved and you don't even know it. You're not free. Freedom means you're free from sin. Freedom means you are able to not sin. Here, you can't help but sin. Sin has ruined you. And you don't even know it. Now, some of you are here saying, you know, this is hard, and you realize what you're saying. We will not be popular. People won't like me, especially those of you who are in high school or you're going away to college. This will be incredibly difficult. You will not be the most popular person on campus. You will struggle. You will have a hard time. There will be friends who will backstab you because of it. It is awkward. It is weird. It is hard. And Paul knows that. Verse 10. He says, for am I now trying to win the favor of people or God? Am I striving to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. His argument is, which matters more? The God of the universe who controls all things, who is coming again to judge the living and the dead, the one who is coming for his children to set them up on a high place, or your idiot friend who wants to get smashed tonight at the bar, right? Like, which one's opinion matters more, right? Paul says, look, I know you Galatians, all these churches in Galatia. You're not going to like me because I'm saying this. And he comes out of the gates, right? Really, I don't know about you, but when I write hard letters or when I talk to people, I try and flatter them, Don Thompson gave me a really good image. He's like, it's like you just throw candy at them. You know, when you have to have a hard conversation with people, just throw candy. I'm like, wait a minute, are you throwing candy at me right now? Maybe. Just throw candy, keep throwing candy, right? And then you slide in the hard thing and then throw more candy, right? I'm like, that's brilliant. He's like, I know that's brilliant. Just keep throwing candy. What does Paul do? He's like, okay, here's who I am, and boom! If you're not following the real gospel of Jesus Christ, if you're teaching something else, may you be accursed forever. May you be condemned to hell forever. Whoa. Yeah, he's not throwing candy. He's not giving candy. It's hard. We realize. Now, he's talking to the church here, right? So this is a church conversation. This is an in-house conversation. This is not a strategy for evangelism. All right, go out and tell everyone you're going to hell. Right? No, this is not the strategy for evangelism. But he's talking to the church. And he's saying, yeah, I realize it. If you abandon the gospel, if you try and like soften the gospel and be like, well, maybe you should consider coming to Jesus after you try out Buddha for a little bit, and after you try finding ultimate meaning in sexual liaisons, and after you find meaning in false philosophies, like, you know, if you soften the gospel and say, well, maybe I'm going to misquote St. Francis and say, you know, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. He never said that, by the way. The guy was the most obnoxious evangelist you could imagine, verbally. It's important to live the gospel out in our lives, but you have to use words, right? You can't just, maybe by my stellar example, they'll say, ha-ha, I will follow Jesus, because they haven't mentioned him by name, but I suspect they're a Christian, and they live such an awesome life, right? I want to be just like Nathan. Which, by the way, no one in their entire life has ever said. Ever. And if you've ever thought that, I am sorry and I will pray for you forever. And also pray for my children, because apparently, you know, they look up to their father. You know, I want to be just like him. No, could you try and aspire to better? No one's ever going to do that. It is hard to follow gospel of Jesus Christ. And we know it's hard because Paul says people will think we're weird. Am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. We need to make certain we're always following the true gospel, because finding ultimate meaning in anything else will ultimately destroy, both in this life and the life to come. In the life to come, yes, it's very evident that your life has been destroyed. In this life, you are ironically in prison, but you think you're in jail. I know this is hard. I know this is difficult. But here's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ isn't exclusive in the sense that it says you have to get rid of everyone and you can only have the right sorts of people and they can only look the right sort of way. And I know we're up in northern Michigan and it's pretty, you know, we all kind of look the same and we're all from very similar backgrounds. And, you know, you talk to people and they're like, well, I'm from the eastern part of, my ancestry's from the eastern part of Europe. And they're like, oh, mine's slightly west of that. Yes, we have diversity. Right? I get that. I get that. But the kingdom of heaven is larger than that, from people of all walks of life and in all realities, and people who have done all sorts of varieties of sin, myself and yourself included. And I'm sure if we went through a checklist, we're not going to do that. You're welcome. If we went through a checklist, we could find, you know, a whole gamut of different variety of sins, a whole rainbow of sins that we could discover about ourselves. And yet we are still called by Jesus Christ, and we are all brought in from our different backgrounds and our different issues and our different hang-ups to be called children of God. We are called to open the door and set the captives free and say, you can come out and you can accept Jesus. You don't have to be a slave to sin. You can't do it under your own power. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Our job is to call people and say, you can have eternal life in Christ. You don't have to settle for less. And that's hard, because people who are in jail don't like being convinced that they are in jail. People who are enslaved don't like to be convinced that they are slaves. But we call people out of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ. We call them out of finding meaning and purpose in things that will eventually fade away, to have meaning and purpose in something that will never fade, that will always last, that will go on forever and ever, where every day is better than the last. And we look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. You should always make certain you are following the true gospel of Jesus Christ, because finding meaning in anything else will ultimately destroy you and those around you. Follow Jesus. Let me pray for you. Father, we know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for all people in all times. We know that it is for everyone up here in northern Michigan. We know that it is for people in Vietnam. We know the kingdom of heaven is larger than any one person. You call all people to repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray for this congregation, Lord. I pray that you will give them boldness. I pray for the college students who are here or about to enter into college. I pray, Lord, that you will fill them with your Spirit. That, Lord, it is so easy to give into sin. It is so easy to give up the struggle. It is so easy to want to please people rather than to please you. It is so easy to walk away. But Lord, I pray that you give them a vision, that their ultimate meaning, their ultimate purpose can be found in not a thing, not a sin, but in a person, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to follow him. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.